You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Down with the king!
Yo, you know what it's about, so let's tell them why you're mad.
You know what really grinds my gears?
A man!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
Now for something completely different.
It's time for a royal rant, presented by the Kings of Sport. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. I should have drafted Rob Gronkowski Vandenberg. How you doing, brother Marcus?
Nate, I can't hear you. I'm getting the Pat's radio feed in my headphones. What's going on here?
So, it is a special edition of the Kings of Sport, a royal rant, if you will, and it is the kickoff special to the National Football League. And about an hour ago, the first game of the season concluded with the New England Patriots opening up the defense of their Super Bowl title with a 28-21 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Marcus, we're going to talk about the game. We're going to talk about our fantasy teams. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the subplots that happened tonight. And we're also going to give our picks, our first NFL picks of the season. But before we do, you watched the game at Yahoo Sports, much like I did at my house, correct?
Correct.
And one thing you noticed at the beginning of this game on NBC was a lot of pomp and circumstance. They had the trophy reveal. They had two or three Boston acts playing a pregame show. They had some random girl I'd never heard of singing the national anthem, all in celebration of the New England Patriots. And the Patriots aren't my favorite team. And as a Jets fan, I know they're not your favorite team.
That's also correct.
But, you know, game recognized game. And I think we've got to give the Patriots a musical tribute here on the Kings of Sport before we talk any football. So this goes out to you, Coach Belichick, to you, Tom Brady, and of course, to the one and only Bob Kraft. Here's a song that epitomizes our feelings about the New England Patriots. What'd you think, Marcus? Was that a fitting tribute?
Fitting tribute, but I'm going back to checking. I forgot. You forgot T-Pain. He's offended by that. T-Pain was there.
Yeah, T-Pain was there singing a song from what? 4 years ago? 5 years ago?
It's gotta be at least probably 3 years now.
yeah. T-Pain was. Yeah. Unfortunately, he will not be at the Super Bowl this year, folks.
Could have Bruno Mars again, so I'd rather take T-Pain at this point.
You'd rather have T-Pain than Bruno Mars?
For a second time. He's not Beyonce. Come on.
The only way that would be great is if the Colts made the Super Bowl and T-Pain could be serenading Jim Irsay. I'm going to buy you a drink. Ooh. I got pills in the bank.
By the way, that song is 5 years old already. Wow.
All I do is win?
Yeah, 5.5 years old.
Yeah, what made it so great was they brought the dude from the remix on. But on the actual remix song, it's Ludacris that does the rap.
That's right.
But tonight, it was just some random black dude.
Wow, that's song.
Like, it could have been Jonas Gray for all I know.
Yeah. No more of that song. Enough.
But the Patriots did win tonight, much like the T-Pain song says. And what were your first takeaways from this opening game of the NFL season, Marcus?
Pittsburgh defense not very good. D'Angelo Williams must have hated Cam Newton because he had never looked that good in Carolina. So that was pretty impressive. By
shout out to D'Angelo Williams, one of the newest members of the NWO, my fantasy team.
And considering he's 32, I mean that's a pretty impressive performance, even though he didn't score a touchdown. Gronkowski's on a Gronk. I mean, Pittsburgh had no answer for Gronk, and Pittsburgh, considering how poorly they played, they really had a shot of winning this game if they, you know, were able to hit some field goals and convert some of those goal line situations or red zone situations. So, I thought the Patriots looked good. Pittsburgh, considering they're without Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant, two of the top offensive weapons, it's not fair to really judge them how they look. But the defense, so for Pittsburgh, first game without Dick LeBeau. And they definitely missed him on Thursday night.
Yeah, Pittsburgh looks solid. I think Josh Scobie may be looking for a new job tomorrow because he did not look well.
No.
In terms of New England, they look solid. I think Tom Brady, we all knew he was going to come out with that vengeful streak after all the Deflategate nonsense in the offseason, and he played pretty well. Rob Gronkowski still one of the most undefendable offensive weapons in football. But the Patriots defense, Marcus, I think they're a defense that you can take advantage of. Granted, they got a big interception late, but this is not the same defense that won the Super Bowl last year.
No, they lost four starters, including Vince Wilfork, who is now down in Houston, and Kyle Arrington, who I don't know where Kyle Arrington ended up. He was a starting DB for them.
Arrington's in Baltimore.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I should know that. Hofstra alum. Their defense is definitely shaky. It's not, you know, the Patriots prior to last year had a stretch where they weren't really known for their defense. They had that one decent season last year. Now they're back to, looks like the old Patriots. But considering they gave up, let me check here how many yards. I think almost 500 yards tonight, which is not good.
Yeah, Pittsburgh was moving the ball, both on the ground and in the air. They had, like, a couple big plays. Darius Haywood-Bey came back from the dead. Antonio Brown did what Antonio Brown does. And you mentioned earlier, D'Angelo Williams was cutting them up on the ground, ended up with 127 yards. So it's not like the Patriots' defense was shutting down Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just got bogged down too many times in the red zone.
Yeah, they gave up 464 yards. So that can't keep up. That's not good. So, if they keep that up, you know, they're going to have to outscore teams. And I don't think that's the way that Belichick wants to go for the entire season. It's good for here and there, but for 16 games, they can't keep that up.
No, and I've got a few topics I want to talk about, Marcus, but I'm going to let you choose. You know, last week we debuted the Wheel of Immorality, and this week I think we're going to debut the Wheel of Hot Topics. So
I choose Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan.
Well, one of the topics is racial, one of the topics is ethical, and the other topic is your typical boilerplate sports talk type of stuff. So out of those three, which one do you want to go to first?
Oh, racial, of course.
Okay. We mentioned Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus, I know you're a Jets fan, but do you like Rob Gronkowski?
I do.
I do too. And I hate the New England Patriots, but I love Gronk. I think the way he plays the game, the joy that he shows, the swagger that he has, that's what I like about the game of football. And I think a lot of fans, I think most fans, like Rob Gronkowski. And my question to you, Brother Marcus, is would they feel the same way about Rob Gronkowski if instead of Rob Gronkowski, he was Rob Jenkins, some big black dude?
I think...
And I know some listeners out there thinking, like, this is a random-ass question, Nate, but there's a method to my madness because I want to tie this into a larger discussion.
I think when it came down to his play on the field, it would be the same, but I think the difference would be some of Gronk's antics off the field would be criticized more if he was African-American, I think. I think some of the drunken shenanigans would be looked down upon.
Yep.
And I don't know how that would really fly. But I think in terms of, like, his play on the field and whether he's the greatest tight end ever, I think that would be the same, but I think he would be criticized a lot more for what he does off the field.
I agree with you to a large extent, Marcus, but I do have a point of contention because I'm going to bring up a guy that some would argue is the greatest wide receiver we've ever seen, and he had some shenanigans on the field. You know, he was a little too exuberant with his celebrations for some people's liking. He mooned the crowd in Green Bay, and that's one Randy Moss. Not petite Randy Moss that can't reach the Crunchy Puffs. I'm talking about regular Randy Moss. Like, Randy Moss was every bit the unstoppable weapon that Rob Gronkowski is. He was every bit the swagger machine, if you will, that Rob Gronkowski is on the football field. But people just reacted so viscerally to Randy Moss. Like, that's not the way you should play the game. Well, he's disrespecting the game. And with Rob Gronkowski, it seems like they've got this attitude of, man, that is just fun. He's out there having a good time playing the game the way it should be played.
But I don't think – what does Gronk do that would signal the same reaction like, to what Gronk Randy Moss
Gronk
did?
Gronk has had the off-the-field stuff, but I do think the way he plays, like the exuberance with the spikes, the shimmying and all that stuff. Like, if he were a black dude doing that
– Nah, I don't think so.
He'd fall off the carpet for that. At least that's what I think.
I don't think so. I think a lot of guys – I mean
– You know, the post-game interviews where he's talking about his linemen getting ready to have some sex tonight.
No, I think you got to separate the off-the-field stuff from the on-the-field stuff. I don't think people would criticize the on-the-field stuff. I think this – well, look, if you're going to compare Randy Moss to Gronk, Gronk hasn't been any legal trouble. So yeah, Moss already has – and Moss had strike one coming out of fucking high school. So he was already, like, on the wrong path from West Virginia on. So he was already, you know – facing an uphill battle there. But in terms of, like, I don't consider Gronk's celebrations or anything he does to be over the top compared to any other diva wide receiver in the league. Terrell Owens comes to mind. I don't think, you know, anything he does stands out to me. And part of that, I think, is because the NFL, you know, is so stingy when it comes to celebrations now that these guys have been sort of limited in what they can do after touchdowns.
Yeah, like I think that Gronk, like I love Gronk, like I said, and I think that I wish more players were like Gronk, but I do think that if you had a black dude that was that outspoken and that just kind of, like Gronk, as great a player as he is, like let's be real folks, he's a knucklehead, he's a meathead, he's a man-child. He's out here having cruises with his man-child brothers and talking about, you know, I got a sexy body. Like, if he were a black dude doing that, I just don't know if he would be as universally loved as he is, you know, being who he is, but especially playing for the Patriots.
To be fair, doesn't get in trouble.
No.
I mean, he might be immature, but he's not getting, like, you know, he's out on TMZ for getting arrested or anything like that. So there's something to be said about that.
Yeah, and the reason I brought this up, Marcus, was to, like I said, touch on a broader issue, and that was what Brandon Marshall brought up this week, and he had some pretty strong comments in terms of the outcome of Deflategate and the court ruling. What did you think about what Brandon Marshall had to say?
I don't know if I really agree with what he had to say.
And for those that don't know, basically Brandon Marshall was like, if he was like Tom Brady got leeway because basically he was white. And I don't agree with it, but I do want to hear what you thought about it.
I mean, considering he wasn't referencing the judge, so he's obviously talking about Goodell. And in that sense, I think Goodell went over the top for Brady.
Yeah.
Four games. So I don't agree in this case that Brady was getting a lesser punishment because he was white. I actually think he was getting overpunished because he was a Patriot.
Yeah, I think this, like, Deflategate in many ways, and I guess there's a big article by, is it Dan Van Natta?
Don Van Natta, yeah.
Yeah, that basically shows all the litany of the Patriots' crimes, and I haven't read it. I've heard people talk about it, and I want to read it this weekend, but apparently, like, they go deep with how scandalous this squad is. But I don't think that this is a instance where Brady benefited because he was white. Now, there are other instances where I think Brady gets more leeway because he's white. And, like, one of the grossest examples of that was, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 years ago, where on the same weekend, Tom Brady and Donovan McNabb both yelled at their receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And Brady was hailed as being a leader, and McNabb was like, why is he such a malcontent? Why is he yelling at his teammates? But Tom Brady doesn't. Oh, he is just a leader. He is. That's what you got to have to be a quarterback in the NFL. And I'm like, they're doing the same damn thing.
You know what the difference is?
What's the difference?
One's dad rings and one doesn't.
That's one of the differences, Marcus.
Yeah, well, that's one of them.
But yeah, I think that what Brandon Marshall had to say, it's not invalid, but I do think that it doesn't apply in this case. I do think that there are differences when it comes to not only how the NFL sees its players, but how the law sees these players and also how the media treats these players. But I don't think it applies in this case.
No, I mean, considering Brady was on par, he did four games like Greg Hardy did for the Greg Hardy stuff was just disgusting. Yeah, I just don't. Not in this instance, I don't see it. Sorry, Brandon. And this is part of the issue with Brandon Marshall doing TV during the regular season is that he's going to be put in situations doing inside the NFL where he's going to have to speak his mind, and he could, you know, make headlines like this. And, you know, Brandon Marshall did the show last year in Chicago, and I feel like if he was a Bear, maybe this story doesn't get the same traction. But who knows? I mean, being in New York, he's going to have to realize that there's more eyeballs on him, so he's going to have to pay extra attention to what he says.
Yeah, and I think it's, like I said, I think it's a good discussion to have. But I don't think this was the incident to have that discussion about.
Yeah.
So that was the racial aspect. And for those of you that are still listening, let's spin the wheel again, Marcus, and go to the ethical questions. And I pose this question to you, Marcus, because I know we're both wrestling fans, and I know you're a fan of the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Dirtiest play in the game.
Yep.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Are Bill Belichick and the Patriots the Ric Flair of football?
Styling and profiling.
They got the, speaking of styling and profiling, you see Kraft coming out there bopping to All I Do Is Win?
Yeah, just looking awkward and just, oh boy.
Hey, if that's awkward though, I'll take it, man. That man paid $1 million fine and still got millions in the bank.
Yeah.
I'll take that awkward, Marcus.
But that's a fair comparison to call them the Ric Flair of the NFL.
Because I think even things that, like, there were two instances in this game tonight. One was the headset issue that you alluded to, and the other was it a penalty or was it something that when the it was an offsides penalty or early start false start on the Steelers, and Ben Roethlisberger was trying to tell the officials the Patriots guys were simulating the snap count.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I don't know if those, it's like being a cheater, Marcus. Like if you're a cheater, and let's put this in a hypothetical situation. Let's say, Marcus, you're not married to your lovely wife. Let's say you just gigolo Marcus Vandenberg back in 95 with uh-huh. your curly, with your good hair, probably wearing like a members only jacket.
Yep.
I want to make that commercial with DirecTV now. Like, this is Yahoo Sports Marcus Vandenberg, and this is 90s gigolo Marcus Vandenberg. but let's say 90s gigolo Marcus is been caught cheating on his wife, on his girlfriend two or three times.
Uh-huh.
And the last time you got caught is with Sheila from The Office. And you're sitting with your lady, and Sheila calls you at about 11 o'clock at night, and she's calling for some legitimate reasons, like something that needs to be taken care of at the office. But your girlfriend is like, why is this bitch calling? Like, she is in the right to question why is she calling you because of previous behavior. So I think that even though these things tonight, they very well could have been just a malfunction with the headsets or the snap count. The Patriots couldn't, you know, it might have been a misunderstanding. But because of their track record, because of their priors, it leads me to believe that they was trying to get an unfair advantage tonight.
Well, to be fair with the Patriots, the NFL has released a statement about the headset because they are the ones who issued the headsets, not the Patriots. And the statement says, in the first quarter of tonight's game, the Pittsburgh coaches experienced interference in their headsets caused by a stadium power infrastructure issue, which was exacerbated by the inclement weather. The coaches' communications equipment, including the headsets provided by the NFL for both clubs' use on game day. Once the power issue was addressed, the equipment functioned properly with no additional issues.
That's all well and good, Marcus, but why was it only the Steelers?
I thought I saw Belichick say after the game that he also had the same issue.
Of course he did. Do you believe this man?
Yeah, I mean, I believe if the NFL is in charge of the headsets, I don't see how the Patriots should supersede what the NFL is doing.
So. Let me tell you, Marcus, because, you know, I'm a spiritual man. I believe in God. Bill Belichick could get visited tonight by Jesus, and Jesus could give him the exact words of what's going to happen the next 7 days towards the end of the world. And Bill Belichick could get on TV and tell us he got this message from God. I would not believe Bill Belichick. I'd be like, come on, man. I'd be a Doubting Thomas. I got to see this, Bill Belichick, because whatever you say, it has that air of you trying to get one over on me.
Plus, why would the NFL be on the side of the Patriots? Why would they go out of the way to clear their name?
Because Roger Goodell don't want those problems. You heard those crazy Boston fans tonight. Where is Roger?
Such a fans, snarky crowd. You
Boston
smarts.
Fans, like, I don't know who's worse. Is it New York, Boston, or Philly? Who's got the worst fans?
Worst
like, not the worst fans in terms of not showing up, but the worst fans in terms of just being jerks.
Philly.
Yeah, they did boo Santa Claus and cheer for Michael Irvin almost getting paralyzed.
Yeah, and threw stuff on the threw batteries at Santa. Yeah, they're terrible people.
So, I think I'd go Philly. Philly, Boston, New York would be my rankings.
Yeah.
and the last thing, Marcus, in terms of our wheel of hot takes tonight that I mentioned was ramifications for the season going forward. Now, having Tom Brady back is a big plus, but we mentioned some of the things the Patriots might need to work on heading on into the season. As a Jets fan, your Jets aren't winning this division.
How you know?
Come on, man.
How you know?
You win it with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Unless the NFL games are going to be a SAT computer simulation, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not going to lead you to the AFC East crown.
You know, I'm calling it now. Week 2 upset. Buffalo's going to beat the Patriots.
They do have a good defensive line.
Yep.
But in terms of your division, the AFC East, do you think the Patriots win it again, or will somebody else rise up and take the crown?
If I had to bet, I'm going to put my money on the Dolphins.
Okay, so you drinking that Miami Kool-Aid that Marcus Grant was sipping on?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Dolphins. I think the Patriots are going to falter. I mean, Brandon LaFell's out. The receivers outside of Edelman aren't very good, so it's gonna be a lot of Edelman, a lot of Gronk.
Tell me about it. I had Danny Amendola on my team.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, man, you got three top white receiving targets, and you only target two of them. I picked the bad white Patriots receiver. It's
Edelman Light right there in Amendola.
Literally Edelman Light.
But the Patriots actually in the season, this will be interesting, the Patriots end their season on January 3rd in Miami, and that game could be for the AFC East, which should be interesting. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I think Tannehill is very underrated as a quarterback. He's really improved year over year. They finally have a running back, looks like, in Lamar Miller. Jarvis Landry has turned into a decent wide receiver. They got rid of Mike Wallace, that cancer. So, and Dolphins improved defensively with Sue coming in on the D side. So,
yep. Sue and the Cam Wake, that's a nice little combo.
Yeah, something with the Dolphins.
I like that, Marcus, but a few minutes ago we made the analogy that the Patriots are Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
And what's one of Ric Flair's most famous sayings?
To be the man.
Yep.
You gotta beat the man.
Gotta beat the man.
Oh, they could beat the man. We'd 17.
They could, but I'm going to say that the Patriots win the division, but I do think the Dolphins are going to get the wild card.
Okay.
Because I think they're a very good team. I think they're a young team. Tannehill has the potential to have a breakout season, and I really like that defense. So I think the Dolphins are going to do some things, but I don't see them overtaking the Patriots, at least not this year.
All right.
So any other thoughts from tonight's game? Because the only other takeaway I have from this, Marcus, is if I were starting a team, if I bought a team right now, other than Bill Belichick, I don't know if I wouldn't hire Mike Tomlin as my head coach. Because even though they lost tonight and they've had some up and down seasons since they won the Super Bowl, I'm still a big Tomlin fan.
Yeah, Tomlin's a solid coach, and he's got the best hairline in football. So,
and the best post game interview.
he's
like, Mike, what do you think about the headsets? I'm only here to talk about what happened out there on the field tonight, what happened in that stadium. That's all we're going to discuss. But like, Mike, you was wearing the headsets in the stadium, dog.
No, he talked about it.
He talked about it, but he didn't talk about it to the extent the media wanted him to.
Well,
you know how the media is, Marcus.
You're trying to get fined.
one last question. This wasn't the Super Bowl, but it was a big night for advertisers. Were there any commercials that you saw that you dug tonight?
I didn't pay attention, but there was nothing like last year with the Icky Shuffle.
No,
that caught my attention.
Yeah, the Icky Shuffle one was great. Was that a Geico commercial?
Geico.
Because Geico hit me like this one wasn't as good as Icky, but it was still pretty damn good where they had Europe doing the final countdown for the dude with the microwave.
Oh, I did see that one, yeah.
That was pretty cool. Like I'm just happy Europe was able to get a check.
Still in 2015.
Oh, one song.
Yeah, that's...
Man. Like, it's not like Europe got new hits.
Yeah.
they still making bank off an old song. Speaking of old songs, Marcus, fantasy football season once again.
Yep.
That didn't really tie in, but, you know, it's like 1 a.m. We'll take what we can get. The Briscoe Sanders Fantasy Football League has commenced its season. I mentioned my great, you know, my brilliance with the NWO, and in case you don't know, that stands for the N-Word Order, representing Hulk Hogan this season, brother. We had a great pickup from the waiver wire with D'Angelo Williams. I don't know how long the D. Williams magic is going to last.
Yeah, one more week.
Right. I think I got about one more week to ride this train, but that's about it. But I'm currently behind Dennis Black and Asian, but I'm probably going to end up beating him. But we've got a couple new players this season. Shout out to Brother Mike from Booking the Territories, as well as some other folks that have joined in this year. But
I think there is Jermaine's in the league, too.
Yeah, Jermaine's in the league this year, which should be fun. But there is one constant, Marcus, maybe our Patriots, and that is the franchise or the kingdom, as he's now going by.
You know, fantasy leagues are funny. I'm in 8 of them this year.
That's just way too many.
Way too many.
How does your wife allow you to do this?
She doesn't know. And, you know, if you're in a fantasy league for money, by all means, talk all the shit you want. If you're in a fantasy league for no money and with a bunch of strangers that you don't really know, and you still want to run your mouth over and over again, that's why I got an issue with you. So
here's the thing, Marcus, like because you've seen the back and forth over the years. Like, I've not discouraged anybody from talking trash, from having a healthy, you know, playful rivalries and things of that nature. But in the words of Dave Chappelle, or more accurately, Charlie Murphy, you know, franchise is a habitual line stepper.
Yeah, I felt bad for poor Jermaine, who hit me on Twitter like, yo, what's his deal? I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. He's just, this is how he is. He just talks and talks and talks and talks.
Yeah.
And we found out he doesn't listen to the show. You saw the reference to my Steelers pick?
No, I didn't. Year.
He made some post about how he stopped listening to the show or stopped listening to me or something about when I picked the Steelers to win the AFC last year. I was like, oh, that's cute. I forgot who I picked, but thanks for reminding me.
That's the other thing. Like, I will say, like, I think I give everybody in the league a fair amount of leeway in terms of, you know, smack talk and in terms of even criticizing me as a commissioner. You know, because I ain't the best commissioner in the world. I'm better than Roger Goodell. But I'm not the best commissioner in the world. But when he was up in arms about when we were going to have the draft, anybody that listens to this show clearly heard last week that we were locking the league on Saturday and the draft would be announced shortly thereafter. This dude is blowing up the message board on Friday. When are we having the draft? Where's the draft? What's the commissioner doing? Why y'all running scared? Why isn't anybody saying anything? Is everybody afraid of Nate? They're like, this man, like, it's funny to me at this point.
Yeah, he's
And this man was bragging about having the best draft when Yahoo's metrics clearly showed he only had the third best draft.
What does Yahoo know?
I should cut that up and
no, you shouldn't
hold it for blackmail.
Nope.
How bad you want to keep this job, Marcus? I need a new car. Like, damn, Nate, where'd you get that car from? My purple angel. But yeah. So franchise is a character, but I think it's gonna be a fun season. We've got 14 teams in the league.
Yep.
I actually added a new division in addition to Division I football, brother, and the Woodcrest Freeman division. We now have the James Evans Memorial Division, which, you know, I figured some people would get a chuckle out of that. But, so it's going to be a fun season. The only issue I had with Yahoo, Marcus, and maybe I don't know how often you talk to the fantasy football people.
Not often.
Maybe next time, you know, you have your big Yahoo picnic or team meeting, you could pass this one small criticism along. When setting the schedules, you know how they got rivalry week.
Yeah.
I like to go in and make the rivalries real rivalries, not just have the banner rivalry week. You know, I like to put, you know, you versus me and franchise versus Flip Nuts and Dennis Black and Agent versus Jamie, you know, real legitimate rivalry.
Uh-huh.
But whenever I would do that, the schedule would get unbalanced. Like, I wish there was a way for, because, like, if you hit random schedule, uh-huh, it'll automatically make the schedule where everybody plays everybody.
Okay, one time. Okay.
Yeah, I wish there was a way that when you did your rivalry week, the rest of the schedule would reset automatically so that everybody played everybody.
Off the bass of the alums. I've never set a football schedule, so I haven't been through that process yet.
Yeah, that was my only complaint, because I would set it to rivalries and set up all the matchups. Like, I had some good matchups. Like, we got a team called Hibachi, and we got a team called Smokehouse. And I'm like, that's a natural rival, Hibachi and the Smokehouse. But unfortunately, whenever I set the rivalries, it would imbalance the schedule where it would be like you and I played two times, and I was missing a game with somebody. So, yeah, get your people on that, Marcus, for next season.
All right.
So other than that, though, I'm looking forward to this season. I think we'll have some fun times. And who knows, Marcus, maybe this will be the year that the franchise is defeated, or he could win his fourth straight title. And if he does, I don't know, Marcus, maybe I might consider shutting everything down.
Well, we play each other in 2 weeks.
You and the franchise?
No, me and you.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's see. What's the early predictions? Oh, 120 to 116 in world order.
Well, I won't be starting Ricardo Rogers by then, hopefully, at tight end. So.
See if that holds up. I want to see when do you play the franchise?
Richard Rogers. Not to, like, the very end of the year, almost.
Because that's going to be, like, I think, I don't know who he hates the most now. Is it Flip Nuts? Shout out to my boy Lumagi, or is it me, or is it you? Like, you and franchise have a little budding rivalry now.
Well, I respond to him. I think a lot of people just ignore him at this point, but I'm not mature enough to just ignore people.
Oh, this is going to be a good one. Week 12, the early predictions. Marcus Vandenberg, 120. Franchise, 126. So, we'll see if that holds up to form. That's enough fantasy talk, though. I know some people enjoy fantasy talk, but a lot of people are like, you know, I don't give a damn about fantasy. I want to hear about the games. And I think it's time to get into some game discussion real quick, Marcus, before we end this week's Royal Rant and bring back our picks contest.
Yes.
Last year, Marcus defeated me by, if I'm remembering correctly, a narrow margin.
Don't know how narrow it was, but I definitely won.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere between 1 and 15 games.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, somewhere in that spectrum. But we're going to start it again this year. It's going to be Marcus versus me, and there's no stakes. Like, there's nothing on the line.
Nah.
Like, one of these days we'll have to come up with some stakes.
Next year.
Although, I do have a bet with Jermaine.
What's the bet?
For the NBA next year, we were talking about the best teams in the East.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about, you know, after Cleveland, I'm looking at, you know, Miami, Atlanta, maybe the Pacers. And he was like, what about Chicago? And I'm like, you know, Chicago could do some things, but health is always an issue for the Bulls. And so we've got a little bet where I think if the Bulls finish higher than the Hawks, I owe him something from Virginia. And if the Hawks finish higher than the Bulls, he's going to send me some deep dish Chicago pizzas.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was trying to see if he could send me half of the share in the squared circle, but he couldn't get that worked out.
Yeah.
It's a little dicey right now with that place.
Yeah, well, we know where the owner is.
She's at PWG shows.
Yeah.
All right, but Marcus and I with this no stakes pick contest. If you're new to the program, every week, we pick 5 games, 4 on Sunday, 1 on Monday, and at the end of the week, whoever gets the most right is the winner for that week, and then we'll crown a overall season champion at the end of the year. Are you ready, Marcus?
I'm ready.
Game number one that we are going to prognosticate about, the Green Bay Packers versus the Chicago Bears in a historic NFL rivalry. Brother Marcus, do you have the spread for this game?
I do. Packers minus 7.
Thought it'd be bigger.
Interesting note. All of the lines this week in week one are 7 and under. So nothing too outrageous for week one.
I will say, man, for like a week one schedule, they got a lot of good games on the docket this week.
Yeah. Right. Sunday should be fun.
So Packers, Bears, who you going with?
Packers.
Yeah, I have zero faith in Jay Cutler.
poor Cutler.
All right, so we're both going with Green Bay, even without Jordy Nelson.
Jordy who? Exactly.
next on the schedule, stand-up comedian Eli Manning and the Giants take on Tony Romo, arts and crafts Tony Romo, and the Dallas Cowboys. What's the line?
Cowboys, Giants, Dallas minus 7.
Ooh. And it's in Dallas.
In Dallas, Sunday night.
I'll take the book, Cowboys.
I'll take the G-Men.
Okay, okay. Next, the Dolphins versus the Redskins.
Oh. Miami minus 3.5.
I think that's a little ridiculous.
It should be lower.
Like, the Redskins are a train wreck, Marcus.
It's still a road game.
It's a road game to a train wreck.
So that means you're taking the Dolphins?
I didn't say all that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say all that. I really hate the Redskins, though. Like, I feel bad for RG3. Like, I know a lot of his issues have been something as a result of what he or his team or his people around him have done.
Mm-hmm.
But this organization is a mess.
Yeah.
Give me the Dolphins, though.
Dolphins.
I almost had you believing I was going to go with the Redskins. Next, in a matchup of rookie quarterbacks, we've got the Titans and Marcus Mariota versus Jameis Winston and the Bucks. Featuring Doug Martin. What's the spread?
Spread here is Tampa Bay minus 2.5.
Ooh. Give me Tennessee.
Give me the Bucs.
Like, this is one of the few times I'm going to go against a black quarterback. Especially one that I like. Like, I think Jameis Winston's going to be good. It's just going to take a little while.
All right.
So those are our four Sunday games. And Monday night, we had a couple games we could choose from, but you know which one I'm going to take.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Eagles at the Falcons. What's the spread?
Eagles minus 2.5.
And you're going with Philly?
Damn right.
Let me tell you, Marcus. There's a wise man named Samuel Jackson. And this won't be the last time I quote this great American actor and poet. What do Falcons do, Marcus?
Not play defense very well.
They do that. But also, what do Falcons do? They rise up. I think I'm going to go with the Falcons. And I hope Julio Jones has a big game because I think Julio Jones was my first pick in the draft.
Okay.
He was my first. He was my number one selection in the first round. So I'm hoping for big things out of Julio, who was hurt last year. But when he's healthy, like, you can make the argument, Marcus. Like, Calvin Johnson's the gold standard. But I can make the argument that after Megatron, a healthy Julio Jones is the next best receiver in the league.
Are we sure that Calvin's still the gold standard? I mean,
he is, but he needs, like, are you going to hold his quarterback against him?
His quarterback's adequate enough.
He's adequate, but, like, yeah. Like, Calvin Johnson, can you imagine Calvin Johnson with a top 10 quarterback? Because is Stafford, would you put Stafford in the top 15?
Yes.
Whew. I don't know if I'd go that high with Stafford. I mean, he's around there. He's not terrible, but I don't know. He's certainly not elite. Like, could you imagine Calvin Johnson with a Drew Brees or a Manning or a Brady or even a Phillip Rivers?
Well, he's not elite. I mean, this dude did have a 5,000-yard season. He had 41 touchdowns in a season. So he's regressed since then, but I wouldn't consider him like Jay Cutler territory. better than any quarterback the Jets have seen probably since Joe Namath. So, I mean,
he's not sad awful. Right there. That's just sad.
He's in that 10 to 15 range, I would say.
Yeah. To me, Matt Stafford is pretty much Detroit Matt Ryan.
But when it comes to just not winning, just you got to ignore the winning part. When it comes to just passing the ball, Matt Ryan is a top 10 quarterback.
He's a good passer. Like, I think Matt Ryan is a solid quarterback, but I don't know if he's that game-changing quarterback.
But we're not talking about that. We're just talking about someone who gets you the ball. Matt Ryan will get the ball to Julio Jones. The same way Matt Stafford will get the ball to Megatron. Now, if you want Matt Stafford to win you a game, that's a little different. But in terms of Calvin Johnson catching a football from a quarterback who at least gets him the ball, I mean, I would definitely... Listen, if fucking Calvin Johnson was catching pads from Cam Newton, I'd be a little concerned.
Oh, that'd be a hell of a combination right there.
It wouldn't be, because he would never get the ball. Because Cam Newton, surprise, not an accurate quarterback.
How dare you, Marcus Vandenberg?
Sorry.
How dare you, sir?
Just saying.
I think we buried the lead, though. Are you coming on here on the Royal Rant, our first NFL show of the season, and saying Calvin Johnson is not the best wide receiver in the game anymore?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Who has usurped him?
Antonio Brown.
Whew. That's not a bad selection. I don't know, though. I'm, and granted, I'm biased, but I don't know if I wouldn't take Julio over Antonio. Like, we're splitting hairs.
I would give Antonio he's a little faster than Julio. Julio's at the size advantage over Antonio, who's pretty small.
Yeah.
They do two different things at receivers, so tomato, tomato.
Like, and there was a crazy stat on the Dan Levitard show, who is now taking Colin Cowherd's spot, hallelujah, on ESPN Radio, and it was like the five draft picks that Cleveland traded or Cleveland got from Atlanta for Julio Jones in that draft. None of those guys are with the Browns anymore.
Mm.
Like that. And Julio Jones is arguably, you know, the best receiver in the league. And if not the best, he's certainly in the conversation.
I'll give the edge to Antonio. Back-to-back 100-plus yard reception seasons. He's got 3,000 yards the last 2 years combined. But, I mean, Megatron, in terms of just ability, just pure freakish ability, he's probably up there. But, hey, you got to stay healthy.
You got to think, though, like, It was just in, was it the NFC semifinals last year? Like, they were one play away from getting to that championship game and possibly getting to the Super Bowl.
The Steelers?
Detroit.
Detroit?
With Calvin Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's tough because I think you kind of get into that, like Larry Fitzgerald, man. How good could Larry Fitzgerald have been with a legit quarterback for the last five seasons?
What are you saying about Carson Palmer?
I mean, he's only had Carson for what? 1 year? 2 years?
Carson's been there for...
Before that, it was a lot of suspect dudes. Derek Anderson.
Carson got to town. Oh, yeah, 2013. That was it. So, 1 year, really, because he got hurt last year. So
Yeah, like Larry Fitzgerald has played with some scrubs.
Speaking of scrubs, going back to Cam Newton for a second, he's my quarterback in this 20-team lead that I'm in. So
you know you're on thin ice, Marcus. Not only me, but I'm sure the listeners are not appreciating the way that you're talking about Ace Boogie tonight on the program.
Come on, Cam Newton. I need you to do well this year.
just like the media, you're going to rip the man out of one side of your mouth and ask him to do great things on the other side of your mouth.
This league is so deep that my battered quarterback in this league, Johnny Manziel.
Geno Smith? No. That's even worse.
Yeah.
That's even worse. Johnny Manziel.
I can't take it. Cam, you can't get hurt.
Uh-huh. Is Johnny Manziel's career over already?
No. No, he plays in Cleveland. He'll get a chance to play.
Oh, Johnny Manziel. Oh. Here's the question, though. Like, this is what football does. Like, I can tell we've been starved from real NFL talk for a while because we're just going off on all these wild tangents.
Mm-hmm.
Going forward, for the next 5 years, would you rather have the career of RG3, whatever that turns out to be, or Johnny Manziel?
RG3.
Still?
Yeah, he proved he could play in this league for an entire season. Johnny Manziel has not. He's improved he did last one game in the NFL. He hasn't had one good game in the NFL. At least Manziel, at least RG3 had one good season.
One great season.
One great season.
I'd love to see what RG3 could do in Houston.
Or New York.
No, you come on, man. He's already played for a team that is in disarray.
If he pays what he owes, he'd be fine. You know, he'd be good.
He don't want to go to a team where people can take cheap shots and bust his jaw open. What's he going to go home and say then? Like, what happened, RG3? Well, you know, I said I wasn't going to do it, and then next thing I know, I got hit in the face three times, and nobody stopped him.
Yeah. Pay your bills. Life lesson.
Yeah, I think we might have to start bringing back the list, even though we didn't really fulfill the last list that we threw out there to the listeners.
Yeah.
And every week on Second Down, I think we should come up with one of these crazy barroom/barbershop football questions. Because it at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything, but it is fun to talk about.
Yeah, it works for me.
Yeah, even though, like, I don't know, man. Like, you've opened my eyes to some things that I don't really like right now.
Like what? Antonio Brown's haircut?
All this. leave that man alone. He's just out here trying to live.
Brown.
Talking about your disparagement of Cam Newton.
Well,
speaking of Nino Brown, I'm my brother's keeper.
I'm so worried about this lead. it was a hefty buy-in too. So going all in on. But the good news is, I outside of Cam.
What position did you draft at? Like, not saying that Cam Newton isn't a.
No,
like if Cam is your number two quarterback, you're pretty solid. But. What position did you draft at to end up with Cam as your starter and Johnny Manziel as your backup?
I had the 19th pick out of 20. So, and Manziel I picked up after the draft. I had no backup quarterback at first. But outside of Cam,
Tyrod Taylor was taken already?
Ray Rice was taken in this draft. That's how deep we're talking.
Ray here. Rice?
Yeah. Just 20 teams. 20 Ray teams. Rice. Yeah. But my starters are Randall Cobb and Julian Edelman at receiver. Justin Forsett and LeGarrette Blount.
Wait a minute. Let's get back to this. So you're telling me somebody drafted Ray Rice, who currently does not have a team, correct?
Correct.
On the off chance that somebody signs this man off the street, 28 years old, I think, what, averaged 3 yards a carry last time we saw him in action?
Yep.
Somebody took a flyer on Ray Rice in this 20-team league.
Now, yeah, these are the running backs on the waiver wire.
Somebody drafted Ray Rice over people that actually are in the league?
Well, I mean, not really. Look who's, all right, David Cobb, hurt. Monty Ball, unemployed. James White, Patriot. Steven Jackson, unemployed. Ben Tate, unemployed, I think. Trent Richardson, unemployed. These are all guys that are left. There's no one. Pierre Thomas. There's no one left that's like active.
Pierre Thomas?
He's not on the team.
You got Pierre Thomas?
No, he's all waiver wire guys. That's why people draft Ray Rice, because you might as well draft someone who at least could be good if he gets the call, as opposed to, you know, a practice squad dude. The quarterbacks that are left. EJ Manuel, who could be interesting if Tyrod sucks. Victor's still out there. Garoppolo is out there on waivers. Tebow.
Tebow!
Mike Glennon. Taj Boyd! Garrett Gilbert.
Phoebus High School's Taj Boyd.
T-Jax. Just all bums. So that's why I have Manziel. But I have Randall Cobb, Julian Edelman, Justin Forsett, LeGarrette Blount, Jordan Reed is my tight end. My T flats at the moment are Pierre Garçon and Doug Baldwin. And then on the bench, I have Rory Helu, Leonard Hankerson, Falcon, Dante Moncrief, DeAnthony Thomas, and then Manziel. And then Matt Bryant's my kicker, another Falcon. And then Baltimore defense.
For real, like, you would have been better off drafting the late, great Craig Ironhead Haywood. Because he's going to produce as much as some of them names you named on the waiver wire.
Yeah, so...
One of those fake made-up names from Key and Peele.
If anyone gets hurt, I'm done.
Who did you draft, Marcus? I drafted Hingle McCringleberry. Tight end for the Rhinos. Wow, 20-team league, and you paid serious money to get in this league, you're telling me.
Yes, and this lead is a collection of fantasy experts, NFL writers.
Is Marcus Grant in the league?
No, Marcus isn't. Probably nobody you would know. Bunch of the Yahoo fantasy guys are in this league. Charles Robinson of Yahoo's in this league.
Oh, I thought you meant the referee. Like, Lil Nate?
No.
That'd be great.
But, yeah, it's
tell you, Marcus, you're not going to get a return on that investment.
You never know.
I know Johnny Manziel is your damn backup.
The guy who won the league last year won from the 20th position drafting, so.
You never know, Marcus. You could start from the bottom and make it to the top, but I think you're going to start at the bottom.
Here's this, though. Guess who had the best draft?
Not you.
Yes, me. Listen, I have two.
This is a Yahoo league, correct?
Yeah, I have two top receivers in Edelman and Randall Cobb. I have probably a top 10 running back in Justin Forsett. I still have Cam Newton. But
looks like Yahoo values Cam Newton more than you do.
No. They value my great receivers.
That'd be great if the report card was like, Marcus Vandenberg's team has excellent wide receivers, a solid running back core. If they can overcome their black quarterback, they can do some things in this league. Poor Cam.
Listen, the guy, just the comparison, the guy I'm going against this week, in his second flex spot, he's starting a dude named Chris Conley. Who he played for? You know what team he plays for? I never heard of this dude before.
I thought, isn't Chris Conley the guy from ESPN that does like the little human interest stories?
Yeah, different dude. This dude, Kansas City wide receiver.
Why would you take any Kansas City wide receiver?
20-team league? Man, there's no one out. That's 20 teams. 20 teams.
Come on, man. I think Dwayne Bowe is an excellent player, but why would you? You know his quarterback can't throw.
But when there's nothing else out there to tape, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So 20 times 15, that's a lot of bodies you had to draft. but the reason why he's starting this dude is because his bench is composed of Arian Foster, hurt, Julius Thomas, hurt, Terrence West, not very good, and Jarrett McKinnon, not going to play. So, and he's starting a tight end, Ladarius Green, who is concussed and not playing on Sunday. So, I feel confident about my week one. Thanks, Julian Edelman.
Go, Cam, go.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see if your tune changes if Cam starts lighting up that league for you.
Oh, I'll change. Don't worry. I'll get on the bandwagon.
I'm having some thoughts right now, but I'm gonna save them for later because I don't know. I was gonna have to make a call out to your friend out there in where's he at, in Santa Clara?
Who?
You know who? No, Santa Barbara.
Oh, he lives in L.A.
Oh, I'll have to make a call because I know he appreciates Cam Newton.
He does?
I would assume he does.
I would assume he wouldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He'd probably say he wouldn't
just to
be a contrarian. Yeah. Cam Newton's not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Andrew Luck.
He's no Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way, I don't know what has happened with Aaron Rodgers. Like, I used to dislike him, but now I kind of like him. Like, not as a player, because I've always thought he's a great player, but just as a dude. Like, I like him. I like him a lot more than I used to. And I think maybe part of it is because, the Packers and Brett Favre kind of buried the hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always that kind of divide with Rodgers and Favre. And I was always a Brett Favre guy.
So it's not Olivia Munn?
No, it's not Olivia Munn, even though she was a great Daily Show correspondent.
All right.
So, I think unless you got anything else to talk about on this first night of football, Marcus, the first night of many, I think we'll call it a show.
That's all I got.
All right. You got to go and see if you can damn, I had a wonderful zinger, and it just, as soon as I was about to say it, it just flew out of my mind.
My original plan was to draft Terrell Pryor because he was at QB and receiver, but he got cut today, so I'm glad I didn't do that.
Who's the damn Raiders quarterback whose son, whose father kind of malfunctioned his brain?
Tom Marinovich?
Yeah, I was going to say, you scouting the waiver wire to see what Tom Marinovich is up to?
Yeah.
Poor Tom Marinovich.
Better than Tebow.
Wait a damn minute, Marcus. that is a great question, though. Would you rather have a quarterback who could throw but is a head case, or a quarterback who will give you no problems with the behavior department but is not the best passer?
I want to win. Give me a quarterback who didn't throw.
Hey, Tebow won more than Tom Marinovich did.
I mean, technically, I'm sure. Uh-huh. No.
I'll take the technical victory.
No. Career. Who had more career wins? Todd Marinovich.
Let's look it up right now. Todd Marinovich. I don't know why we look it up. Todd Marinovich stats in 2015.
Oh, shit, he only played two seasons? Fuck.
Todd Marinovich, who's currently 46 years old.
Oh, no. He's only 3-5 lifetime.
See?
Damn, Tebow won.
Telling me Tom Marinovich is going to win me more games than Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow won more games in one season. Not even a full season.
Fight on, Todd. He's a Trojan.
Did Todd ever win a playoff game?
0-1 in the playoffs.
Tebow was what? 1-0? 1-1?
And threw four picks at that.
Hey, he won one more game than Tom Marinovich ever did in the postseason.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to end it, because a victory over Marcus and a victory for Tim Tebow, you can't get any better than this.
Well, I hope he enjoys his day job on Saturday.
Hey, it's not a bad fallback career.
Back to broadcasting.
Like, that's how charmed Tim Tebow's life is.
He's not very good at that either.
No, he's...
He's awkward.
I think he's a better quarterback than he is a broadcaster.
Yeah, he's not good. I don't know why he's not good, but he's just not good.
At least as a quarterback, he can win you some games with his awkward way of playing, but in terms of being a broadcaster, no, he's not good at all. Like, the personality that he has on the field, it doesn't come through when he's behind the microphone.
Tebow, 8 career wins, by the way. 8-6 as a starter.
That's 5 more wins than Tom Rinovich ever had.
With a completion percentage under 50%. So, I'll leave it at that.
Don't try to besmirch Tebow now.
Tebow's playoff stats, 40% completion.
Hey, no. Don't try to bolster your argument with all these extraneous facts and figures. I already won. The people heard it.
How did he win that game? Lucky pass.
And he passed for 316 yards, and the church says, "I'm in." Tebow 316 says, "I just won 40% one more playoff game than Tom Rinovich."
Even Michael Vick says, "Hey, that's kind of low, buddy." I throw 55%.
Michael Vick back in the league claps on that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike Tomlin for employing people from the 757. Did anybody draft Michael Vick in your league?
No, he's still out there.
How in the hell are people drafting Johnny Manziel?
Because when does Big Ben get hurt? Because Roethlisberger's not going down.
I would rather bet on Michael Vick for one random game that may or may not ever happen than because Johnny Manziel.
You're betting on Josh McCown. You're not betting on Roethlisberger or on Manziel. You're betting on the QB getting benched. Better chance of McCown getting benched or hurt than Roethlisberger getting hurt.
Josh McCown's the starter?
Yeah.
Then, who is it? Verizon lied to us tonight. Because wasn't he the one doing the commercials?
Josh McCown?
Yeah. He's like all those Verizon commercials for the backup system.
I didn't pay attention to him.
He's like, "Hey, I'm Josh McCown for Verizon."
Yeah, he's maybe starting.
Might have been Luke McCown, one of the McCowns. But Verizon has the largest system of backups in America for your phone network. Why don't they make these backups their starters?
Mm.
That was the whole joke. Let me see, because I got to know this before we go off the air tonight. Josh McCown, Verizon. Okay, it's not Josh. Is it Luke? Yeah, it is Luke.
Oh, okay.
A better network, as explained by backup quarterback Luke McCown. Yeah. Are they related?
Yep.
That is a... Congratulations, Daddy McCown, for producing 2 completely average quarterbacks.
Average is being nice.
And apparently he had another son that played quarterback, Randy McCown.
He's the trooper of the family.
I was going to say, this is like the bootleg version of the Mannings.
Yeah. 3 Coopers.
I wouldn't even give him Coopers. Like, Cooper didn't make it to the NFL. But I would say at his best, Cooper was better than all of them dudes, all of these McCowns. So we're gonna leave this, because we can just get into this wormhole of random NFL quarterbacks. Maybe that'll be a question 1 week. Who's your favorite? Your favorite all time backup quarterbacks?
Frank Wright. Okay, we'll say that.
Frank Reich. I'm gonna put in my vote early on for Vince Evans. Shout out to one of the original quarterbacks. I think he was in the league when he was like 45 years old.
Yeah,
Vince Evans. So we'll do that 1 week. But if the people want to reach out to you, Marcus, and give you social media scorn for losing an argument to me tonight about Tim Tebow versus Tom Rinovich, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MarcoWill, MarcoWill.
You can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. I'm on Instagram periodically, Black Nate. BLAQ.
Four Loco. Come on.
Let me tell you, Marcus. Normally, like I said on that an Instagram post, which you can find at Black Nate, BLAQUE underscore in the number 8. Four Loco. I haven't had a Four Loco in years, but the packaging got me. It's this bright gold can. I'm like, Four Loco gold. I was like, nah, I'm not going to try that. Then I looked at the lettering on the can, 14% alcohol. I'm intrigued. And let me tell you, Marcus, it's not the best drink I've ever had, but for a Four Loco, for like some bargain basement supercharged beer, it wasn't that bad. It tasted like Red Bull. All
right.
And it's effective. I had that can, and I had like a regular 12-ounce can of beer, and I was good for the night. Like that's it. Like that Four Loco is what it says it is. Like I was looking like a Denny Green on the couch. It was what I thought it was. And I drank the damn beer. You can follow the show, Cospod on Twitter, KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Shout out to Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com, as well as High Voltage Radio, highvoltageradio.com. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport. iTunes, Stitcher, like, rate, review, and of course, share it with your friends. And again, thank you as always for listening to another edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, The King of Sport. The Kings of Sport. See, that was a Freudian slip, Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Already getting rid of you because of...
That Tebow talk.
No, not even Tebow, man. I'm still feeling some type of way about Cam Newton.
Man, that, come on, Steam. You got to come through this year.
Let me tell you, I don't appreciate the way that you're characterized. I think Brandon Marshall was right, the way the media talks about these black quarterbacks.
Come on, Cam.
Yes, come on, Cam, indeed. But like I said, it's been a fun night. NFL is back. Football is back. So I think it's going to be a fun season, Marcus.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, so stick with us each and every week. Second Down is going to be a big part of the show. We're going to have guests on to talk about what's going on, not only in the NFL, but college football as well. And, of course, Marcus and I will be doing our picks contest each and every week and updating you on the craziness that occurs in the Briscoe Sanders Fantasy Football League. So that is going to bring this Royal Rant to an end. It's over. It's done with. Have a great weekend, and we will see you back here next week. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton, and all my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Royal Rant. Agree with our take? Think we're off base? Or maybe you've got something completely different that you need to vent about? Well, tell us why you're mad on Facebook, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, or on Twitter, Cospod on Twitter. That's KOS_POD, Cospod on Twitter. Time is really wasted.